Welcome to another message from the book of Revelation on systematic theology, eschatology, the end times, and the participants of the end times. We talked about all the different bowls of wrath and the timing of these, and I will review them a little bit right now. There were 10 points. We're at Revelation, the 16th chapter, and so we kind of transverse from the 15th chapter to the 16th chapter. And we're talking about the end times. The whole reason for the end times is to bring Israel back to God so they can be part of the economy of God. Right now, they're rebels. I know a lot of people out there believe in replacement theology where the church took the place of Israel, and Israel has no more to do in the economy of God. They've been rejected, thrown away, and flushed down the toilet, so to speak. But God's promise to David and to Abraham entails Israel. Israel will really, the millennial reign is not in your hearts, not in your mind, it's not in the church. The millennial reign is epites geis, or el haaretz, upon this earth. The center of the millennial reign on this earth will be the city of Jerusalem. It's real. What it says in the Bible is really real. What the Bible says, God really means it. It's not symbolic. It's not a fairy tale. It's for real. The Bible is not a fairy tale. It is for real. These are real prophecies that we're reading. Now let's go back to the bowls of wrath now. The seven bowls or vials of judgments of God will entail these things. Malignant, number one, malignant sores will plague all of the unsaved and those who have the mark of the beast in Revelation 16 and 2. The sea becomes as blood and everything in it will perish, Revelation 16, 3. There will only be blood like water to drink from rivers and springs as in the days of Pharaoh. Exodus 7, 14 through 25 and Revelation 16, 4 and 5. Mankind will be scorched with intense fire and heat. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. Men shall gnaw their tongues in pain because of the intense pain and malignant sores upon them. Revelation 16, 10 and 11. Demons are released upon the earth, and preliminary grouping and mustering shall take place for the battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16, 12 through 16. The greatest earthquake ever known in the history of mankind shall take place in Revelation 16 and 18. Cities throughout the world will be devastated, Revelation 16 and 19. Every island and mountain shall be shaken down and out of its place, Revelation 16 and verse 20. The whole axis of the earth will change. The Ecuador won't be on the Ecuador. The North and the South Pole will no longer be the North and the South Pole. Do you understand that? With that great earthquake in Japan, and that's the tsunami, the earth was knocked off its axis a certain amount. But this will be the greatest earthquake ever known in the history of mankind, greater than Vesuvius. Greater than anything in the Mediterranean world that we've ever known. There have been some bad earthquakes and explosions. Eruption of great, gigantic explosions like Mount St. Helens, Mount Vesuvius. As we drive down, up and down 395, you see where volcanoes were, and the lava flows, and the tremendous upheavals of the earth. And what happened when God divided the earth in the days of Peleg? Here, where God divided the earth and also divided the languages. What happened? How bad was that? It says that the earth divided. Mountains became valleys and oceans. There are mountains and the oceans. Did you know that? You ever go rock fishing? The rocks and mountains down in the ocean. The ocean looks, under the ocean, looks just like above the ocean. There's all kinds of forests, all types of animals, fish, mammals, sharks, whales, itty-bitty fish, and great big fish. All kinds of animals. There's dogs on land and there's dogs in the ocean. We call them seals. There are ichthyomies on land. That's the wrong word. That's Lakota. Spiders. Spiders on land and spiders in the ocean called crabs and scorpions and scorpions and birds and birds. Penguins can fly through the water as birds fly through the air. Penguins are a bird. Isn't that neat? How God was so diverse in His creation. Every island and mountain shall be broken down and changed. The whole earth shall be shaken off its axis. Huge hailstones of 100 pounds each shall fall in Revelation 16 and verse 21. 16 and verse 1 says, "And I heard a great voice out of the shrine, the dwelling place of God, saying to the seven angels, 'You go. You all go and you all pour out the seven bowls of the wrath belonging to God upon the earth.'" Remember why they used bowls instead of bottles? Mm-hmm. A bowl, you can throw out something in it instantly. The whole contents is gone. This is rapid and this is instant judgment. Not from a bottle, not from a jar, but from a bowl where you could throw out the whole dishpan full of water at once. The wrath of God shall just be instantly poured out. Dynamic and instant judgment. You go out and you pour out the seven bowls of your wrath. Verse number 2. And the first angel went away, and he poured out the vial of him unto the earth. And it became a malignant sore, a sore generating pus and ulcers. Bad. Elkos kakon is what it is. Malignant sore, bad. Staph infection, very contagious, and evil upon mankind. Now God warned them not to take the mark of the beast. And when they took the mark of the beast, all these judgments are going to come down upon them. Now, we know in Islam, taking the mark of the beast is what they want to do. Isn't it so astounding? Isn't it so weird and twisted that the beast in Revelation is bad according to God's word, and the beast in Islam is good? And the mark of the beast in Islam is the mark that says there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger? And the name or the logo or the announcement of what we might call allegiance is to take the mark of the beast. But in the Bible, if you take the mark of the beast, you're damned forevermore. In Islam, if you take the mark of the beast, you're saved and safe. The beast in the book of Revelation is a horrible creature. It is an emissary of Satan and all evil. The beast in the Quran and the Sunnahs and the Hadith is a good being. It is one created by Allah. The Mahdi in the Islamic end times is a good guy. He's a direct descendant of Fatima, Muhammad's daughter, and he has got the spirit, the soul of Muhammad in him. He looks like him. He's 40 years old when he becomes a reluctant leader, but he shall lead forth to destroy all the swine in the world, to destroy all the Jews in the world, and to conquer and cause into submission or kill all the Christians in the world, in that order. And then we have the false Jesus. The Antichrist in the book of Revelation is bad. Esau, or Jesus, in Islamic end times, is a good guy that goes out to kill all the swine and kill all the Christians and kill all the Jews. The Jesus of the Bible is saving the Jews, and the Jesus of Islam is murdering the Jews. Is it a coincidence that these two opposite structures are one and the same in all reality? And the first angel went away, and he poured out his vial upon the earth, and it became a malignant, bad sore, a festering, malignant, pus-generating sore. And it is evil upon all of mankind. That word porneron, that is a twisted evil. I see these sores with maggots in them and worms and festering disease that they've called upon themselves because they took the mark of the beast and they believed in the wrong God. Taste the effects of rebellion, God said. Taste the effects of rebellion. Taste of my wrath. Taste of my anger. And the ones having the mark of the beast, and the ones worshiping the image of that beast. The Antichrist will cause all mankind, big or small, to sell their souls and receive his mark. In the Islamic world today, if you are not an adherent to Islam, you pay jizya. That's protection money. You know, you heard of the Godfather and the Mafia. You have to pay protection money to stay alive. America, when America became a nation, the greatest part of the budget, 20%, of the budget of America was paying jizya to the Islamic empires in shipping. They would capture their crews, they would kidnap them, and they would want ransom money. That's Islam, you know. Kidnap, murder, kill, ransom, steal. That's what they do. In 1700, and 84, it states here in one writing, it says, because America commerce in the Mediterranean was being destroyed by Muslim pirates, the Continental Congress in 1784 agreed to negotiate treaties with the four Barbary states. Congress appointed a special commission consisting of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin to oversee the negotiations of this treaty. America was brand new country. Lacking the ability to protect the merchant ships in the Mediterranean, the new American government tried to appease the Muslim slavers, and these were the slave traders. Muslims are still trading in slaves today in 2020, and November the 1st, 2020, they're still slavers today. A lot of their slavery is young girls captured and used to sell to old men so they can have a young wife, 9 or 10 years old, like 7, 8, 9 years old, like Muhammad did. Ayatollah Khomeini had a 9-year-old wife. Because Muhammad had one, Aisha. She was 7. The government, the United States government, tried to appease the Muslim slaver by paying tribute or jizya, protection money, and ransom in order to retrieve seized American ships and buy the freedom of enslaved sailors. Adams argued in favor of paying tribute as the cheapest way to get American commerce in the Mediterranean moving again. Go ahead and pay the protection money. Jefferson opposed. He believed that it would be no end to the demands for tribute and wanted matters settled through a medium of war. He proposed a League of Trading Nations to force an end to the Muslim piracy. In 1786, Jefferson, then the American ambassador to France, and Adams, then American ambassador to Britain, met in London with Sayyidi Hajjaj Abdul Rahman Adija, the ambassador to Britain. The Americans wanted to negotiate a peace treaty based upon Congress vote to appease. During the meeting, Jefferson and Adams asked the ambassador why Muslims held so much hostility toward Americans when we're a brand new nation. They have no previous contacts with them at all. In the later meeting with the American Congress, the two future presidents reported that Ambassador Sayyidi Hajjaj Abdul Rahman Adija had answered that Islam was founded on the laws of their prophet, and that it was written in their Quran that all nations who should not have acknowledged their authority were sinners, and that it was their right and duty to make war upon whoever they could be found and to make slaves of all that they could take as prisoners, and that every Muslim who should be slain in battle was sure to go to paradise. Following 15 years later, the American government paid the Muslim millions of dollars for safe passage of American ships in return for American hostages. Most Americans do not know that the payments and ransom and jizya tribute amounted to 20% of the United States government annual revenue in 1800. That's exactly how much they require, 20% of your earnings. Not long after Jefferson's inauguration as president in 1801, he dispatched a group of frigates to defend American interests in the Mediterranean and informed Congress, declaring that America was going to spend millions in defense, but not 1 cent for tribute and jizya. Not 1 cent for ransom money. Jefferson pressed the issue by deploring American Marines. Marines are called leathernecks because they wore thick leather collars around their neck so that they could withstand the blows of the Muslim swords trying to behead them. That's why Marines are called leathernecks. And many of America's best warships to the Muslim Barbary Coast. The USS Constitution, the USS Constellation, the USS Philadelphia, the USS Chesapeake, the USS Argus, the USS Cyrene, and the USS Intrepid all fought in this Muslim war. In 1805, American Marines marched across the desert from Egypt into Tripoli, forcing the surrender of Tripoli and the freeing of all American slaves. During the Jefferson administration, the Muslim Barbary States crumbled as a result of intense American naval bombardment and onshore raids by Marines. They finally agreed officially to abandon slavery and piracy. Jefferson's victory over the Muslims lives on today in the Marine hymn, with a lion from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. We will fight our country's battles on land and on the sea. It wasn't until 1815 that the problem was fully settled by the total defeat of the Muslim slave trade pirates. The Muslim slave trading pirates. Shortly thereafter, the Christian world leveled a significant blow to Islam in 1924 after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. The office of the caliph was abolished. But it shall rise again here. Now, by the way, it talks about these great nations here. It talks about this great ruler of the end time. Islam has settlers in every country in the world, basically, demanding to live under Sharia law and not the constitution of any nation. But when it talks about conquering the world, we're talking about Jerusalem is the center of the world. Those nations, the Islamic Empire, even though it didn't rule all of Europe, it ruled the land of Palestine. That's God's view. That's the world, people. Yes, they occupied Spain for 300 years. They took over all of Turkey, and all of the seven churches of Asia became mosques. The world was taken over by these pirates, by these Muslim patriots, and they call the rest of the world infidels. Those having the mark of the beast and the ones worshiping the image of him. Mecca. Mecca will be moved, the Kaaba stone will be moved to Jerusalem during this period of time. Jerusalem will be the center of the worship of Israel and this one of the centers of worship of Islam. There will be a seven-year contract, a seven-year covenant, a seven-year treaty between Islam and Jerusalem and the Jews. But in the middle of that seven-year period of time, the Jews will be devastated. The Muslim leader will stand up and swear that he is God in flesh. Muhammad always wanted to be worshipped as Jesus. And he wants to be worshipped even higher than Allah. Because he will sit on the right hand of Allah and he will judge all the nations. He wants to take the place of Jesus. Jesus is subservient to Muhammad, according to Muhammad. Verse number 3. And the second angel he poured out the bowl of him, the vial of him, unto the sea. And it became blood as of a dead one, coagulated blood. And all the life in the sea died, and the things in the sea. Boy, just think about the devastation of this, a dead ocean. A smelly dead ocean. A diseased dead ocean. The vultures will be going out and feasting upon the dead bodies of animals in the oceans. Not only on the land, but in the ocean. And a third angel he poured out the bowl of him unto the rivers and the fountains, the Potomos and the Pigais, the rivers and the fountains and the springs of water. And all of these, each and every one of them, became as blood. The stench of blood will permeate the whole world. How many of you ever lived next to a slaughterhouse? Mm-hmm. You did.
Yes.
It smelled bad, didn't it?
It sure did.
Blood smells bad, and the world will have the stench of blood throughout it. When I was a young boy, the dumps all had dead animals in them, and they were all burning the dumps all the time. Maggots all over the place, and the stench of those dead bodies. The stench of the world, dead bodies of all the world, will be filling up the nostrils of all of those God rejectors. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "Righteous you are, the one being, and the one who kept on being, the Holy One, because these things you have judged, the Holy One, the Merciful One." Since you have shed the blood of my people, your blood will be shed now. Since you drank the blood of my people, your blood shall be food for the vultures. See how you like that. See how you like the taste of that blood. Remember what the Jews told Jesus? Let his blood be upon us and our children. And boy, has it. And now we have the Jews now in the hands of the Antichrist. In the hands of the God haters and the Israel haters. And because blood of saints and the prophets they shed, and the blood to them you have given to drink, and worthy and merciful you are. You weigh down the scales. They weighed out their own judgment on what they did. God is a just God. Even in hell there's degrees of punishment. And in Hades, probably also. And I heard the sacrificial altar, or the priest of the sacrificial offer, the ministers of the sacrificial offer, saying, "Yes, Lord." And the God, the Almighty, and Jehovah El Shaddai, true acts and righteous acts are your judgments. And the fourth angel, he poured out the bowl of him upon the sun. And it was given to him to burn human beings with fire. And they were burned, the human beings, with heat great. And they blasphemed. And they blasphemed the name of God. And of the ones having the authority over the plagues. This word here, with heat, that means kaima. It comes from kayo. And it means to scorch, to burn, to brand. To brand. That means to take a hot branding iron and burn someone with it. To make a mark on them. As you would brand cattle. As they used to brand slaves. And these, and not they repented to give glory to God. They absolute hardness of their human heart, even to the direct opposition of divine government judgment upon them. They wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't accept God. They didn't have no fear of God. And the fifth angel, he poured out the bowl of him upon the throne of the wild beast, of the land shark. And it became the kingdom of him having been darkened, spiritually, physical darkness, spiritual and physical darkness. And they gnawed, they kept on gnawing the tongues of them because of the pain, the intense pain. The great intense pain was caused because man chewed their own tongues in this pain. God wants people to be saved, but they will not repent. Beyond feeling, stony-hearted people. Verse number 11. And they blasphemed God, the God of heaven, because of the pains of them, and out of the malignant sores of them, and they would not repent. out of the works of them. They wouldn't leave off their bad works. They wouldn't walk off and leave the things that they so pleasured in. You know, it's an awful funny thing. It's a horrible, terrible tragedy that the Muslim world, when the Muslims got started, that Muhammad's religion didn't go intellectually very well at all. It didn't succeed intellectually. Well, when he began to go out and conquer, and he paid his soldiers by their thefts. Now, when you went out soldiering for Muhammad, you went out and you killed, you kidnapped, you raped, and you stole. And according to Muhammad, all that's okay. Now, I know the Catholic armies did the same thing, but Catholicism is not Christianity, people. Neither is Islam. They raped and they pillaged. Now, where in the world in the Bible does it tell you to do that? It does that in the Quran. But does the Bible ever tell you to go rape and pillage? And rape women? That's part of the wages of war is rape and pillage. Marilyn did her DNA 10 years ago, I guess, wasn't it, Marilyn? Something like that, maybe. She was half Danish, according to her family, and half whatever on her mother's side, but her father was Danish. And she has the DNA done, and all of a sudden she's less than one-eighth Danish. And then she came to realize that those people were raping and pillaging back and forth across these borders. The borders changed every year. Whoever was stronger. The Vikings viked. They chopped and they killed forward and backward, and the Germans and the Russians and the Poles. And she found out she was one-quarter Greek. All across the Mediterranean, raping and pillaging back and forth. Raping and pillaging. People, that's not Christian. It never has been. The holy wars were never holy. Jihad has never been holy or righteous in any way. No Muslim ever died in jihad and went to paradise. I can assure you of that. No soldier of the cross ever died and went to paradise. Raping and pillaging. And the sixth angel, he poured out the bowl of him upon the river, the great river Euphrates, and it was dried up. And the water of her, in order that it might be prepared a highway of the kings, the ones from the rising sun. The Euphrates River is the longest and widest and mightiest river in Western Asia. Now, this army is going to be 200 million strong that's going to cross there. What is the only army in the world today that could muster 200 million men easily? Since there's more than a billion Muslims in the world, and even the children fight, and even the women fight and blow themselves up, that would be very easy to muster 200 million people. And I saw out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the swift-running beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There they all are, the Mahdi, the beast, and the Antichrist. Spirits, three unclean, similar to frogs. Unclean spirits, demons, look like frogs. Verse number 14. And they are the spirits of demons working and doing, busily working and doing signs. And they go out upon the kings of the inhabited world, the whole inhabited world, to bring together them unto the war of the great day. This is going to be a world war, Marilyn. Another world war. until the great day of God, the El Shaddai Almighty. The word for Armageddon, it means the mountain of cutting in pieces. The mountain of cutting in pieces. On that mountain, troops will be cut to pieces. Troops will be cut to pieces. You know, in these new movies, they have a lot of gore, don't they? They have bodies being blown up and everything. That's what's going to happen here. There's going to be bodies just torn apart. Now we have a parenthetical verse of warning in verse number 15. You behold, I come as a thief, and blessed and happy is the one watching and keeping the garments of him in order, not that he might be naked, that he might walk around naked, and they may see the shame, the slander of him. If a soldier was found asleep at their post, he was stripped naked and he was flogged and his clothes were burned and he went about naked and his shame was plainly seen by all. And he assembled them unto the place being called in Hebrew Harmageddon. It's Harmageddon. Harmageddon, the mount where troops are cut to pieces. The mountain of cutting in pieces. Megiddo goes Harmageddon. This is one of the most famous places for slaughter in the history of the world. I've been there. Many armies, many men's blood have been shed on this battlefield in history. Verse number 17, and the seventh angel, he poured out the bowl of him upon the air, and it became a voice great out of the holy place, the shrine of the throne of the God, saying, it has occurred, it has become. And there became lightning, and voices of thunder, and earthquakes, and shaking seismos. And it became great, such that not did it occur from the beginning of mankind upon the earth, such an earthquake in this manner, in this great manner. And it became the city of the great unto three parts, divisions. The city was divided in three parts. And the cities of the nations, they fell. And of Babylon, the great, it was remembered before the God to give to her the cup of the wine of the wrath of God. Babylon's Babylon. I want you to know that for a minute. Egypt is Islam. Babylon is Islam. Iran is Islam. Iraq is Islam. Syria is Islam. All of these countries that it names in the Bible, the old capital of the Byzantine Empire was Constantinople. The Muslims took that over and renamed that place. All of that's Islam. And every island, it fled. And the mountains, not they were found. And this is kind of a hyperbole now. Geographically, they were out of place, is what it means. And hail, great, as a 100 to 120 pound, they came down out of heaven. Each one of them did. Came down to heaven upon mankind. And they blasphemed the man, the God, because of the plague of hail, because great was the plague of her exceedingly. What a story. It gets worse and worse, doesn't it?
Oh, 100 pounds?
100 to 120 pound hailstones. That's like sacks of cement falling upon you people. Except ice and fire. Ice and fire. Ice and fire. Opposites. Now, do you want to go through this? I don't. How do you escape this? How do you escape this? How do you clear and adhere to so great a salvation that God had given to us and so great a mercy that He offered to His Son? All of these hellish religions have something you got to do to go to heaven. I want to tell you what you got to do to go to heaven. You got to go believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior because Jesus did it all. Jesus came and died for you. Jehovah God became flesh and dwelt upon this earth, and He was crucified by the nation of Israel, by the orders of the nation of Israel. Stephen was stoned by the orders of the nation of Israel. All of the apostles except John were murdered. And here we come down, we have another vile end time nation, a nation that is a religion, a nation that is a political religious entity, and I believe it to be Islam. Too many things are just evident. Everything in the Bible is good is bad in Islam. Everything that's good in the Bible is bad in Islam. Look at that. Yeah, the Islamic Empire, it dissolved in 1923, but it will be revised again for a while. They're all looking for the caliphate to rise again. That's what ISIS was. There will be peace for a little while, but that peace is a false peace. And she shall rise again. The old devil will stick his head up. Muhammad will walk the earth again, according to them. Satan will have a son, a seed, the seed of Satan. And the seed of God will war and battle. If you haven't believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. Ask the Lord to save your soul because of what Jesus did, not what you can do. Our Father, we send this message out to glorify You and to honor You. And Father, forgive me for I failed You. In Jesus' name.